الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. درود شریف پڑھنے Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, in the last session of Darsi Hadith, an explanation was given as to why Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an had nominated his son to be his successor, Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Very briefly, to quickly recap, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an is amongst the famous companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and genuinely, with all sincerity, in his opinion, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an felt that the best individual to succeed him would be his son Yazid. And he was a sincere Sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many reasons can be given. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an ruled for nearly 20 years. And in the 20 years, Yazid was someone who was very close to the father. A lot of exposure in politics was in front of him. The father had trained him to make sure that he could cope during the difficult missions and the challenging tasks that come in front of him in his life, in his career, to cope with that situation. A very mature individual, and also a man who was very experienced in governance administration. And so, with all of these important attributes that a leader needs, he felt that perhaps Yazid was the right individual to succeed him. And he himself was a sincere individual, as in Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, for Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an to nominate him, that was just one part of for Yazid to be the leader. But the pathway for him to open up would only be when the masses and the community have nominated him. And this would be after the demise of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. We need to understand that this Sahabi was very mukhlis, very sincere, and that is why Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi has also said, and this narration is very authentic, for Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala and to sit on the pulpit on a Jumu'ah and to look at the people and to lift up his hands, and he said to the people that Allah is my witness, if I have nominated my son for my personal gain or for name or fame or whatever, then I pray to Allah that Allah should never grant my son Yazid the position to be the leader. But only if it is for your pleasure, Ya Allah, then give him that position that he would be my successor. And so we need to understand that Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala and during his lifetime, subhanallah, just like every father would want to see the best for his son, the best training, the best education, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala and provided everything for Yazid. And of course the events that occurred were much later on, and that actually paints a complete negative picture for Yazid, and there's no compromise in that also. But we have to understand, as far as the nomination is concerned, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an was very mukhlis in his selection that Yazid should be the right individual. Also the fact that Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an knew that in the 20 years and then previously when Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an was the Khalifa, the most powerful people in Arabia at that time were the Banu Umayyah tribe. These were the most powerful. The people of power, influence was with them. These were educated individuals. They were the leaders of the community and people would look at them. And after 20 years, for any individual to take the position of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, and if he is not from amongst the Banu Umayyah, this would be a difficult acceptance from the people. And so at times a leader has to make a very difficult decision, a difficult choice is in front of him. And Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an felt that politically this was the best move for him. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an knew that they were companions who were still alive at that time, the young companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But because Yazid was from amongst the Banu Umayyah, and to save the Ummah from disunity, he felt that this was politically wise for Yazid to take power. And so this was a difficult decision taken by Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an, and he did so with all the khulus. But whatever happens, happens by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See? We have to understand that. Even in the case of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam, his son is in front of him and the father is a Nabi and saying, my son, come to me. And he said, no, the mountain will save me. We see in the case of Hazrat Lut alayhi salam and Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, great prophets of Allah, but the women, the wives, did not embrace Islam. They were not Muslims. كَانَتَا تَحْتَ عَبْدَيْنِ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا صَالِحَيْنِ فَخَانَتَاهُمَا. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. They did khiyanat against the two Nabi, Hazrat Lut alayhi salam and Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam. And so these were the prophets. And here we are talking about Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala. He was mukhlis. This is very important for us to understand. Now after the demise of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala, it is the people and the masses that elected Yazid to be the successor to Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala. But in the beginning, right from the beginning in fact, clarity must be given. It's very common amongst the Muslims that even the Sunni Muslims would say that Yazid was opposed by certain individuals because he was a sinful man. Now, the community, the masses had accepted him, but there were four individuals who opposed to the Khilafat, to the leadership of Yazid. Now, these four individuals were powerful individuals. They were from amongst the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hazrat Hussein bin Ali radiyallahu ta'ala, Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala, Abdullah ibn Zubair and Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala. All of these four companions did not give the allegiance to Yazid, and they did not accept Yazid to be the leader after the demise of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala. So you have the four companions on one side, and when you read the books of history, the only thing you will pick up as far as the biography of Yazid is concerned, the events of Karbala, and when they talk about his biography, we have to be careful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَبَيَّنُوا, always ascertain the truth. You might not like an individual, or he might have done something that is wrong, but that does not give you the license to falsely accuse him of something which he did not do. You can't go around saying that so and so person is a zani, or so and so person does this, and that he's a thief or whatever. You can't do that. That is tuhmat, and tuhmat in Sharia is haram, it is not jais. And so the scholars have mentioned that we have to be careful. It is famously known in the books also, when they talk about Yazid, they say that a lot of people who did not favor him, they did not favor him because he was a sinful man. And they give this playboy image for Yazid ibn Muawiyah, that he was of an immoral character, a man who, aliyazu billah, would go out with a lot of women, a man who would wine and dine and drink a lot of alcohol. This is the picture that is given about this man, Yazid ibn Muawiyah, radiyallahu ta'ala an. We have to be extremely careful. All of the scholars of hadith and tariq have rejected that. And they say that these narrations are the works of the Shia scholars, and you will find all of these negative attributes related to Yazid, they all come from the Shia scholars, and they are Shia narrations. In fact, Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi has also mentioned this, that all of the narrations that speak about Yazid to drink a lot of alcohol, and that he would miss out from his obligatory prayers, and that he was a man who would do zina, and a very immoral individual, all of these narrations are of defective nature. Who says that? Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh. And so we have to be very, very careful. Now, aliyazu billah, I'm not saying here that Yazid was a wali of Allah, that he was a muttaqi, that he was a saint. I'm not saying that. In fact, Yazid cannot even be compared to Hazrat Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala, to Abdullah ibn Umar, to Abdullah ibn Zubair, to Abdul Rahman ibn Abu Bakr. These were the companions. Yazid was not a Sahabi. He was not a Sahabi, he's a Tabi'een. And so you can't even compare Yazid to these great companions. However, the ulama have mentioned that no matter who that individual is, you can't falsely accuse him for something which he did not do. That is against the spirit of Islam. And so we have to be very careful. This comes as propaganda from the Shia scholars. And for them, this is the right moment. Because Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an were in the battlefield during the battle of Jamal and Siffin. Therefore, with the family of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, there is hatred all the time that comes from the Shia scholars. And so they say that if this is Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, and then this is his son, a man who would drink alcohol and a man who missed out from his salah. Now this is again all Shia fabrication. We have to understand the son of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, Allati bhai, as in he is the stepbrother to Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an. Father is one, mother are two different ladies. But he is the stepbrother to Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an. And his name is Muhammad ibn Hanafiya. Now Muhammad ibn Hanafiya, Abdullah ibn Muti' came to see him and said to Muhammad ibn Hanafiya, who is the son of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and he said to him that, do you know about Yazid, that Yazid drinks alcohol and that he is not mindful of Sharia and Salah? Now Muhammad ibn Hanafiya looked at him and said to him, why do you say this? I have stayed with Yazid for a long period of time and I have never seen him touch alcohol. I have never seen him touch alcohol and I have never seen him to flaunt out with women and I have never seen him not to respect the Sharia. I have seen him to be a man regular in his salah, and a man who shows a lot of interest in fiqah, in masail, and also a man who wants to learn the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now who is saying this? The brother of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. And so this man Abdullah ibn Muti' says, oh, perhaps he was only doing this to show you. And so now Muhammad ibn Hanafiya got very angry and he said, Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. How can Yazid fear me? What is there that he should fear me? And he said that this is against the Quran what you say. When you put false accusations on a person, that is gunahe kabira, a major sin. And he said to this man, Abdullah ibn Muti', that immediately get out from my house and get out from my sight. For you speak something negative about an individual, about a Muslim, which he has not committed himself to. And so we have to be very, very careful. This man did not drink alcohol. Why? Otherwise, the question and the integrity of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an would be at stake here. That how can a Sahabi nominate his son if the son is a fasiq and a fajir? How can a Sahabi nominate his son if his son is a fasiq and a fajir? And so we need to understand that subhanallah, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an had trained Yazid. And in his lifetime, Yazid never touched alcohol. And he was a man who was regular in his salah. One other proof of that is that during the Khilafat of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, for 3 consecutive years, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an had made him the Amir for Hajj. Had made him the Amir for Hajj. And when he went as an Amir for Hajj, that means he is the Grand Imam. And so he would lead the people to prayers in Hajj, all the salah. And if the companions were there performing Hajj at that time, they were also behind Yazid. And so there was no personal grudge amongst the ranks of the companions and Yazid. There was no personal grudge. So the question is, why was there this opposition that came from Abdullah ibn Umar and Abdullah ibn Zubair and the 4 companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? The answer is very simple, my respected brothers. The scholars have mentioned this, that these were the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they did not want to see in Islam this system of monarchy to take birth, to be in front of the people. And so the fear was that Khilafat is not something that you can inherit as inheritance. So they did not want the system of a monarchy to take place. That is why they said that it is better if Yazid is not the ruler, is not the successor to Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. Because he is the son of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. They did not want this monarchy system. That is why Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar said that no, we don't accept the bay'ah of Yazid. Otherwise there was no personal grudge. When they went for Hajj, Yazid was the imam and they prayed behind him. So Yazid was a Muslim and he is the son of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an. And we need to understand this. Subhanallah, it's a very, very important mas'ala. A very, very important mas'ala. Another thing also that we need to remember is that a lot of the narrations that come along are fabricated. What is it? Fabricated. And so when you read, you might just say that, oh, this riwayat that is there comes from Ibn Abbas. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala and speaks. Or another sahabi has spoken about this, has spoken about Yazid in this manner. But Allahu Akbar, we have to be very, very careful. Now, what happens is that the issue is Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an also wanted Yazid because he could not trust the people of Kufa. He could not trust the people of Kufa. The most powerful people were the Banu Umayyad. And if you look at history, it is the people of Kufa that have given taklif to all of the Khulafa. And Kufa was a city that was established during the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an by the hands of Hazrat Sa'ad bin Waqas radiallahu ta'ala an. Now we have to make sure that we understand how Yazid came into power and why Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an had selected him as an Amir, Why? Because of the main event of Karbala. If we don't understand the foundation, and if we only have 20 or 30% of information, it would be wrong if we have any kind of misunderstanding about the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially with regards to Hazrat Amir Muawiyah and Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an. Now, the people of Kufa, history shows that these were people who took offense very, very quickly. And that these were people who were fickle-minded. Very quickly they would change colors. Very quickly. At one minute they would pretend that we are yours, we are loyal individuals, and the next day they will be your enemies. The people who actually pretended that they were pilgrims and they entered Medina Munawwara, and Aliyazu Billah, they murdered Hazrat Osman radiallahu ta'ala an, who were they? They were the people of Kufa, the Sabai sect. And the Shia sect, again, it stems from the Sabai movement. The Sabai is the original foundation of the Shia cults that we have today. It is all the same. It goes all the way back to this man, Abdullah ibn Sabah. And so what they did is that the Basriyats and the Egyptians and the people of Kufa fought with the governors and then pretended that we're going for Hajj. And they entered Medina Munawwara. They had the ihrams on with the intention, aliyazu billah, that we will murder Hazrat Osman radiallahu ta'ala an. And that is what they did. They did not even allow him to be buried in Jannatul Baqi. And he was only allowed to be buried in the night after 3 days. And that also towards a separate compound. And now, when the Banu Umayyah came into power, that part of the land was actually connected to Jannatul Baqi. And so that is why when you go to Jannatul Baqi, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala is actually in Jannatul Baqi. But this is the history of the people of Kufa. And so after the demise and the martyrdom of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, the same people, the people of Kufa, pretended to be great loyalists of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. And they said that we are with you. We the people of Kufa are with you. In fact, some of the scholars have mentioned one of the reasons why Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an had to shift the capital from Medina Munawwara towards Kufa is because Kufa was where the Sabai people were, and in order to break them, in order to rule over them, Hazrat Ali wanted to be on top of them. And that is why he shifted the capital from Medina Munawwara towards Kufa. And so when he got there, the people of Kufa said that you are from amongst the Ahl Bayt, remember the Sabai movement, and that we will support you. These were the same people when Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an had made all the arrangements to make peace with Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Talha and Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an, they from the back sabotaged this peace agreement. And unfortunately, because of the Sabai people and the people of Kufa, this led to the Battle of Jamal. And then after the Battle of Jamal, it was the Battle of Siffin. In fact, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was so fed up of the people of Kufa that in his last phase of life, he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, Ya Allah, I want to meet you and I want to turn away from the fitna and the turmoil that I see that comes from the people of Kufa. That is how difficult these individuals were. And he actually said to them in the masjid that what is the matter with you people that when I tell you to do something, you disobey me. And that you harbor this cowardice attitude against the enemies that are in front of you. So these were people who just wanted money and fame, but were not prepared to fight in jihad fi sabilillah. Just to give you a history of who the people of Kufa were. And then when Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an came to power, again the people of Kufa said to Hazrat Hassan that we are the people who will support you. But when Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an did bay'ah at the hands of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, the same people of Kufa attacked Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an, who was resting in his tent. They attacked him, they looted his belongings, they took everything away, and they also injured him. And that is why when he returned back to Medina Munawwara, he said to the people that you are people who could never be trusted. The people of Kufa could never be trusted. What you did to my father and what you did to me. And now, after the shahadat of Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an, when Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an comes to power, the same thing. You have the Banu Umayyah, who were sincere, powerful individuals, who took control and who wanted to make sure that the Sabai movement does not progress anyway. But then you had the Kufi people again going to Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an and saying to him that worry not, Yazid cannot be the leader whilst you are alive. Whilst you are alive, and we will give you the complete support. In fact, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an did speak to Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an that be very careful of the people of Kufa. And so that is why the ulama have mentioned that it was a very difficult decision for Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an to nominate his son. The only reason he did so was because he was from the Banu Umayyah. And the fear was that if any other individual was to take place after Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, there was a possibility that the people of Kufa would have influenced that individual, because they already had some relationship with Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an. But one thing has to be cleared, my respected brothers, is that when we speak about Yazid, we are not saying that he is the Wali of Allah. We are not saying that he is Muttaqi. But we are just putting in front important points and facts. Unfortunately, what has happened is that when you have the Shia narrations and how the Shia people speak about the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, slandering the companions, insulting the companions and swearing at the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that can never be tolerated. And so we need to understand the relationship between Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an and also his son Yazid. And now that when Yazid comes to power, there's an opposition of four great individuals, and all of them are the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And why was there this opposition? Because they did not want this system of monarchy to come into Islam. Then what would happen is that any Amir after his demise would want to select his son, and this would be a chain and a continuation which was against the spirit of the Khulafa'i Rashid. It was against the teachings of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. Inshallah ta'ala, in the next session we will cover some of the events that lead to Karbala and how the Kufi people actually meet up with Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an, and what happens with the other companions who disagreed with Yazid. All that inshallah will be covered in the next few sessions. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah ilazim. Sami'na wa atana gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.